Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you chose to join us. And since we're less than a week out to the Christmas holidays, Merry Christmas. You know, it's a curious thing as you journey through your life, you learn about who you are in the little sense and the big sense, why you're here in the little sense and the big sense, and you get more and more clarity. And one of the things I really like about being a host on this show is all the fascinating people, including our guest tonight, who is Sonia Amrita Bailos. And the topic tonight is Living Awaken, the Path to Being a New Human, right here on the New Human Living Radio Show. But I wanted to talk just a minute about something you've heard me talk about many times before. And I'm understanding how this thing works. And what I want to talk about is power, your power, the power of you in a divine sense, in the sense of that divine spark, that divine consciousness that seeds all of your thoughts, that fuels the living energy that drives all your cells and organs, the infinite flow of the divine consciousness flowing through you. But that's divine consciousness. That's divine consciousness. And divine consciousness can play out any role. Any human being alive, all their sentences, all their thoughts, all their feelings are being fueled by divine consciousness. There's no consciousness out of the one consciousness. It's a hologram. The universe is not divided against itself. So even the scallywags, the scoundrels, the villains, the people who are pushing against us or seemingly pushing against us are divinity themselves. But what I want to talk about is divine love, 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 love. And you can have divine consciousness illuminating your body and fueling your ego, and you're going about your day, and you can go your whole entire life and experience that divine consciousness. You really don't have a choice, actually, because every one of your thoughts is riding on top of that. But divine love, that's when your ego comes into play, or maybe goes out. When you learn the way that your life path changes, the more and more you can embody divine love, then I would suggest your ego could actually be fascinated by it and actually engage it with a sense of curiosity, because love is the most fascinating thing in the sense that it has no boundaries. Unconditional love has no opposite. And I suggest to you, human beings, that'd be you, that'd be me, human beings that can stay in a place of unconditional love, no matter what their eyeballs are seeing, their ears are hearing, or their heart is feeling as they look into the turmoil of our collective consciousness. When we look at the history, the mythology of our human story, we see people like Jesus, who walks around on planet Earth holding a space of unconditional love. And in that space of unconditional love, miracles happen. He said, "Everything I've done, you can do too. Come on, belly up to the bar." When you look at the chaos, when you look at the collective storyline that's being played out now, and you wonder what can you do about it, I suggest to you that from a place of unconditional love because you've actually practiced it, because you've actually explained it to your ego, and your ego has gotten experience choosing unconditional love. That from that place of unconditional love, your persona holds the vision of peace on earth, of heaven on earth, of sustainability, of prosperity, of community, of culture. A lot of the feminine traits that our society has been squeezed of, it would return through you as you. It's through our human experience that all things resolve. We're here to master all our problems as divine human beings. And I think that's a good segue to start our show tonight. Our guest tonight, Sonia, experienced a series of increasingly profound awakenings, and she had a startling realization that she had no idea what it meant to be human. All of her assumptions about being human had come from the ego, conditioning, and story. Then she began a new journey of embodying awakening and becoming a new human. In this interview with Sonia, we're going to explore the seven elements of the new operating system for the new human and how you, the listener, can begin to engage these elements now, wherever you may be on your spiritual path, and how you can actualize your divine potential now. Sonia is going to guide us into the experience of feeling and knowing your true divine nature. Join me in welcoming her to the show. Welcome to the show.
Les, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. And thank you for your talk about unconditional love. Such a topic I love. That was perfect.
Love has a way of doing that. You got to be careful with that stuff. You know, there's no warning on the package. It's like, what's going to happen when I open this big bag of love? I mean, it can take you for a ride. Careful with that stuff. So so let's get a little background to what brought you to where you are now. You talk about a profound awakening. Can you give us a little backstory to that?
Absolutely. Everybody's awakenings are different. So I'm about to describe mine, and I invite listeners not to necessarily compare yourself with what I experienced, but to maybe take my examples as possibilities of opening. So when I describe a series of awakenings, each one had a very distinct kind of, I'll say, function in what it opened me up to or how it opened me up. And so one of them was a profound opening to oneness, to everything being one. Another one was really about dissolving all sense of self, no self, and just dissolving into the infinite, into everything. Other awakenings were about infinite love, realizing that I'm infinite love, everything is infinite love, et cetera, until finally, I felt, it took me actually a few weeks after the last awakening, I didn't know it was the last awakening experience, but what I realized was that my awareness of the divine and my awareness of oneness and love wasn't going away. It was maintaining. That any question left in me about the presence of the divine, of the presence of consciousness or God, had stopped. There was no question left in me. And that's, as you described in the introduction, when I realized I didn't know how to be human.
Right, yeah. So when you talked about dissolving all aspects of yourself, I mean, did you have any apprehension to that as far as like, you know, well, wait a minute, if I lose all of my senses of self, I will have no sense?
That's a great question. You know, I am sure that I did feel apprehension or fear leading up to it. I don't have clear memories of it, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm sure that I did, but I don't.
Sure.
I don't have clear memories or happenings of that anxiety or fear. For me, when I dissolved, what it felt to me was going home. It felt like going home, and it felt like a relief to kind of shed the human form. And I had been well guided. I had two awakening teachers. One was called Sri Mahayogi, is called Sri Mahayogi Paramahamsa, and the other's Ajashanti. And they both, in their own ways, said, you know, you can have these experiences of dissolving yourself. And if you hang out in that experience, in just the pure experience of no self, then you're missing a part of the picture, that the next step after that is actually to simultaneously, paradoxically know that you are nothing and something at the same time, to be able to live as it in the experience of a human body, in the experience of a human being, while knowing that everything is spaciousness, everything is one, everything is love. So thank God for them, because my makeup could have easily gone into no self and forgotten how to come back into the body. So I had good guides that taught me not to get lost. I mean, I remember having an experience on one silent retreat I was on where I forgot how to eat because there was no separation between me and the food or the glass or the fork or anything. It's really a comical story. I remember just like staring at this beet, and I wasn't identifying the beet as a beet. I wasn't seeing it as food. And I had some distant memory that finally kicked in that said, that's something you need to eat, and put it in your mouth. And I just put it in my mouth, and I didn't even chew because there wasn't a thought of chewing.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Gradually, I began to remember how to eat again. Yes, it's important to both have no self and live in the body at the same time.
Well, you know, it's a curious thing, because you can go up in a cave and, you know, sit on your fanny and meditate for 20 years and find that oneness. I mean, it's within us all. But from my best estimation, yes, indeed. Yes, absolutely. Discover that divinity, that spark of the divine within you. But part of this, it seems like part of this experiment our collective souls have been going through for the last several eons of time, as we found the bottom of the karmic barrel and bounced our ass on it for, you know, centuries of war and famine and pain and suffering. Our souls chose that journey for us. And now such a flipping glorious time that we finally found the steering wheel, and we're coming up out of the muck of the karma, and we're coming back into the light. I suggest that part of the gift of this journey of going so far into the darkness is who we are as human beings, in the sense of what moves our soul: music, dance, culture, art. It's all driven by the yearnings of our soul. And yes, find that divinity, but come back to earth as a human, as a new human, and totally engage in what your desires are and fulfill them. I suggest that's part of the juice, that the elixir that makes this such a vibrant time to be alive.
Yeah, I really feel that as well, Les, very much so. And I love that you brought this in, because I think we do have an extraordinary opportunity to live in a whole new way as part of this apparent world or life or body, but from love, from consciousness, from divinity. And it does change the experience of how we live. And to get to share that with people, and I'm finding, and it sounds like you are too, a hunger in our human communities to know this and live this. It's amazing. I had no idea when I started on my path many, many years ago that there would be so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people desiring and hungering for this authentic experience of living divinity and living life in a whole new way. And it is very wonderful to awaken in your life, not just on a mountain, which is also beautiful, by the way. It has its own perfection and grace, but, you know, to awaken in your life and to live it, that's so special, really extraordinary.
So when you work with clients, I mean, there's such a scale of human consciousness that there's so many different attributes to what all our lives look like. What kind of epiphanies or breakthroughs do you notice with your clients? Can you share some with us anonymously?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. First of all, I feel very blessed that all of my clients are on an awakening journey, whatever that means for them and whatever particular flavor or pathways they've chosen. Everybody's different. I always say there's 7 billion pathways to awakening.
Right.
So they're already devoted in some way to know that God inside, to know that divinity inside and all around them. And what I also feel very lucky about is that they want to clarify, clean up, liberate, heal, whatever, their lives. And so, you know, today, for example, I was working with a client who has had a very long journey of trying to embody what her soul knows in her relationships, all kinds of relationships, romantic and work and friendships. And she's had a series of just extraordinary breakthroughs where she can now, instead of being in her childhood trauma, instead of being in her self-doubt or her fear, she can stand so clearly and cleanly in her wisdom, in her truth, discern the kinds of relationships she wants to have in a whole different way. And in the process of doing that, the quality of her relationships is changing. She's calling to her more vibrant, resonant individuals into her life. She's feeling more nourished and loved by these individuals because she's open and present to infinite love, right? To the abundance of love. And so she's naturally attracting some really beautiful people who are nourishing her as well. That's a wonderful example. And in the field of work, I would say, here's one of my favorite examples. I work with a lot of CEOs and entrepreneurs as well, and leaders in various fields, and they're committed to awakening at work. And I have two clients who are business partners, and they talk about how God is our CEO, that God is the one telling them, guiding them, opening with them, for them, through them, as them, what their work needs to be in the world. And that's been so beautiful to watch them shed their ego preferences, the inner driver, the conditioning, stuff
that sure.
gets mixed up with work, and use work as a pathway to know that oneness with God and to let divinity move through them as them in their work in the world. So those are two of my favorite examples, actually.
Well, I really like that because, I mean, I like what you said, there's 7 billion journeys to God, and I would add there's 7 billion ideas of what heaven is. So as a listener, I mean, you're sitting there listening to the show and you're like, well, where do I fit in that? And how do I have that experience or something into that nature? It's really a curious thing how this sounds silly, but how versatile God is, in the sense that we all have that divine spark within us and we all have our own unique life purpose. how would you say you've experienced the divine within you over time? In other words, the more you flex that muscle of your relationship with the divine in you, how does your life change?
Such a great question, Les. Certainly, and you know, I hear this and feel this in you as well. Certainly, there's a greater lightness, more humor, like more enjoyment of life. I used to be so heavy and serious, and now I love to laugh and I love to be silly, and I love talking to you and laughing too. You know, that's a beautiful way I think that life transforms. I think I feel less constriction around things. You know, the ego, as you know, has a way of grasping itself around all kinds of ideas, concepts, tasks, purposes, and I feel less and less and less grasping around anything. It's very interesting that even in embodiment, there are things that fall away that you don't even realize can fall away. That's a consistent point of feedback I get from my clients who've awakened and they're embodying. It's like, wow, I didn't even know this could fall away. Check that out. Like, there's so much that can be liberated and freed. And I also experience, my clients experience, I would say too, greater clarity. It's life just wants to move and love and do things in certain ways. And there is a clarity to it that's very, very different. And over time, the anxiety and uncertainty that the ego can create, the ego fog can generate, just disperses, and there's a really beautiful clarity that arises instead. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, and with that clarity comes a sense of peace, because the ego doesn't have that anxiety, and the peace is palatable. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you need a flipping machete to chop through all the peas to get to the other room.
yes, exactly.
I'm overwhelmed by peas. Stop it. Stop it some more. No, I'm kidding. Well, we have some context to go through here. Well, why don't we start with, you wanted to mention the seven elements, and then we have a process to go through later in the show. So why don't we start with that? The seven elements.
That's beautiful. Thanks, Les. And one of the reasons I was called to cover these, I really sat, as you know, Les, I really sat with what to share today with your listeners. And this is what came, which I always find it interesting, you know, what comes to share. And one of the reasons that this came is that as I was learning again how to be human, these were some of the principles that I found myself returning back to. But simultaneously, I found that these principles were coming up in my sessions with people, that wherever somebody was at on their awakening journey, that these principles could be very grounding, useful, helpful. And I find that everybody goes through a period of time, sometimes many years, where they kind of have one foot in the world of knowing God and divinity, and another foot in confusion or ego, right? And people go back and forth for a period of time until they kind of can embody or abide more in the knowing of divinity. While we're going back and forth, it's so helpful to have these principles to guide us. So the first four elements of this new operating system to be a new human can be applied in very practical ways, as well as being taken in very deeply as kind of an essence and a teaching to play with and sit with. So I'll go through the first four first and then cover the last three, which are really deeper awakening principles. So the first one is listen to and follow inner wisdom. Wisdom is a very significant piece for me. It's why my website's called Illuminated Wisdom. What I've found is that every single person I've ever worked with on the awakening path and met in other spiritual communities has a voice in them that is wise, that knows, that is already awake in a certain way. And that voice of inner wisdom is guiding you always through your life. And when you learn to drop in and listen to that inner wisdom, you're going to hear things and understand things and see things your mind would otherwise miss. And it doesn't matter how awake somebody thinks they are. Wisdom is available right now today. And so a question you can always ask is, what does my wisdom know? And usually people find that, I call it the seat of wisdom, in the heart or the gut. And so you can drop into your heart or gut, put your hand there, bow to the mind, say, I'll come back to you later, mind, and ask, what does my wisdom know about whatever it is you're inquiring about? So that's number one. Number two, related to that, is to be in alignment and integrity. The ego gets really wrapped up in ideas of right and wrong and what society wants, but it's actually really simple to just go inside, feel that inner alignment, feel that core integrity in you. Then you can just inquire, am I in alignment? Am I in integrity, or is this situation in integrity? And again, related to that, the third principle is to find the truth, to find what's really true. This can be applied in a very relative way. What's true in your life? What's true about a particular situation? To really get grounded in truth. It's also very helpful inquiry to help you find divinity within you and all around you, to in a sense, find the absolute truth that all is one and all is love. And the fourth principle is to be compassionate to yourself and to others. And what's great about this principle is that it doesn't mean overgiving. It doesn't mean sacrificing yourself in a way that's not true. Compassion, unconditional love, is a beautiful partner to truth and wisdom and alignment and integrity. And when they're all working together, then you can really move in your life in a way that feels more in flow, more aligned, more sustainable, more balanced. Most of my students report feeling so relieved, actually, that it can be as simple as just following wisdom, truth, love, alignment, and integrity. So those are the first four principles. And I invite, if you're listening, I invite you to just take a deep breath and take those in for a moment. And just see, how do these resonate with you? And how do you want to apply them in your life? And one more deep breath if you'd like. Beautiful. Thank you. Les, do you have any reflections on those first four principles in your own experience before I continue on?
I liked them all. When you said integrity, alignment, number two, alignment and integrity, what is your integrity to?
Oh, it's great. It's really a couple things. One is that it's an inner sense of integrity. I find that, again, we're very blessed to have a community of people devoted to awakening. And if there's that call to awaken it, then there's also a sense inside of each person of what is really in integrity. It's like a core felt sense in the body, right? It's like this something, you know, when something is in integrity, you feel that strength in the body. And so it's in a sense, we could say that it's integrity to truth, integrity to what's true, integrity to what's really real. Does that make sense?
Well, I like how you tied it to yourself, the core of your body, I think was your word. So you're taking that integrity and you're weighing it within yourself. And so the integrity is to yourself. And I really, really like that. So yes, I love the all four of them.
Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. So these last three elements are either truths that you, you know, all the listeners will either already really deeply know or can use as reminders, can use as ways to call themselves back to the truth. So the fifth principle, the fifth element, is that you are not your mind, thoughts, or emotions. That your mind and your thoughts and your emotions are just experiences. Sometimes I think of them as clouds. They're just passing in the sky. They don't change the sky. They're just passing over the sky. And what is the sky? What is the thing that's always here is your true divine nature, your true inner nature, the essence of you that is whole. And so knowing that you are not your mind, your thoughts and emotions can feel like a relief. And then find out what it is that you truly are, that essence deep within. So that's principle number five. Principle six is to remember that the divine and divine love is ever and always present. One of the reasons that I find people pop out of awakened awareness is because there's a fear or a story that God in some way leaves them. And that's not how it works, right? We can have the experience like a dream of being somewhere else or feeling something that's not very awake. But God doesn't go anywhere, right? That presence of the divine is always and ever present. So it's really helpful to return back to that knowing and anchor in that again. And then the seventh principle is what Les and I were talking about earlier, actually somewhat a little bit, which is to let consciousness move through you as you in the world. So what you do is not about you. It's life force, divine energy moving through you as you. It's a movement. And when we're not identifying with it or trying to prove our worthiness through it, then life is really just doing what it needs to do, and it's so free. And Les, when you and I had had our conversation, or, you know, last week, I think it was, or early in the week, we talked about how your work, it just moves through you. You know, my work, I experience that as well. It just moves through me. And it's so much easier to just allow what wants to happen as consciousness through us as us. So these are the seven principles that I recommend for living as a new human, wherever you may be on the awakening path. And what I've found is that when you practice these, then you really begin to realize your divine potential, that potential in you that's completely unique to you, totally natural and unique to you. And you can begin to feel that and live it day to day more and more. So thank you for letting me share these seven principles, Les.
Well, they're very nice. I like them immensely. It's a wonderful thing to do the figuring out, if you will, and working through your own psyche, your own past, your own propensities, and getting in alignment, as you say, and in integrity with that authentic part of you. And you know, it's kind of a curious thing, because it seems like once you figure out you're here to be you, then you're kind of off the hook in the sense of what it's, quote, supposed to, unquote, look like, because nobody can tell you that. It comes from inside of you. So, very nice material.
Oh, Les, that was such an important point that you just made. It's one of my favorites. It's nobody can tell you what it's supposed to look like. That is actually consistently one of the most disarming experiences that people have when they're living their awakening. Is, oh, there is no external authority of human beings that knows better. There's only the authority, if you will, of truth, the authority of divinity that you can only hear inside of you, that knows exactly what it needs to be doing and how it needs to be doing it. And it is easier, and it is lighter, and it is freer, but it is a funny thing to transition over to that. So thank you for bringing that up. That's very important.
Well, very nice. Now, you had a process you wanted to guide us through. This might be a good time for that to happen.
Yes, I'd love to do that. Thank you. Here again, when I was sitting with this conversation with Les, I really got to not just talk about these principles, but give the listeners, give you guys an opportunity to feel it in a different way. So I'm going to guide you as I'm being guided to guide you. And I also want to support you to, again, follow your inner teacher, follow your inner wisdom, and where you may want to take this as I'm guiding you through it. Color outside the lines and really make this your own. So I'm going to guide you through a short guided meditation, and then I'm going to give you some inquiry questions to play with and practice listening to your wisdom and finding what's true for you. So first, I invite you to just shift your physical position if you need to for meditation, and just take a few really deep breaths in the body. And one of the things that can be very, very sweet is to connect to oneness through our own physical bodies. So I invite you now to feel your body connecting down into the earth, like you're growing roots through the bottoms of your feet and connecting into the earth. And feel the aliveness and the interconnectedness between your body and the earth. And notice how simultaneously your body is distinct from the earth itself, and yet you are all part of one living, breathing life force. And as you feel that interconnectedness, unification with the earth, simultaneously feel that vibrant life force coming up from the earth through your body, and connecting out through the top of your head to the sky. And here again, as you connect to the heavens, as you connect to the sky, there are two distinct experiences, one of your physical body, one of the sky and the heavens above, and yet they're one and the same. There's an essence, a life force, that connects your body with the sky, with the heavens. And now you are connected as a channel, fully unified between earth and heaven. And now you can expand all around you. As you are connected to earth and heaven, you are also interconnected with everything around you, all the trees, the birds, the people, all the activity, all the silence and peace all around you. It's all distinct. Your body is distinct from everything outside of you, and yet simultaneously one. In essence, one. Through the life force and the divinity that creates all of it. And if you're listening to this recording later, I invite you to pause it and take as much time being in this oneness as you feel called to. And I'll continue on now and invite you to notice how in this connectedness, in this oneness, in this life force, there is a presence of love. In my experience, creation begins to create the world of form, you, me, trees, everything, through the movement of love. That love is the seed of everything we can see and touch and taste and feel. So I invite you to open your awareness to the love that's present through the earth beneath your feet, present in the cells of your body, present in the sky and the heavens, present in the world all around you. And allow yourself to take in this experience fully and totally, for every cell to know this oneness and love. I'll give you a moment of silence here to be with this. And I invite you to feel the immensity of this, the boundlessness of this, where everything is included, including you. The experience of being you is included with so much love, is included in the fabric of all of creation. And here again, if you are called, if you're listening to this recording later, pause it. Take more time with this. We're going to shift our attention now and bring our awareness of this immensity and interconnectedness to all things outside and around us and within us. And we're going to bring our attention to the wisdom in your heart or your gut, if that's where you connect to it more. This wisdom knows this oneness. This wisdom in you knows this infinite love, this vast interconnectedness of all things. And just take a moment to put your hand on your seat of wisdom in heart or gut and get comfortable with that. Feel that presence and pulsing of wisdom in you. Once you connect to this, you will always have it available to you anytime you want, anytime you can return to it, to focus and listen and return to it. So I'm going to ask your wisdom now some questions for you to sit with. And one is, what does your inner wisdom, your inner teacher, most want you to know? Going to go through these fairly quickly, but again here, you can take these questions later and work with them on your own. A variation on the first question, what does my inner wisdom know about living as a new awakened human? And last question, what does your inner wisdom know will support you to live as a new human? Thank you. Beautiful. To close our meditation, I invite you to take a deep breath. And I put my hands together in prayer position and I bow to you. And if you are called to, you can bow as well. And thank you for doing that meditation with me, everybody. I know we moved through it quickly, but I invite you to work with it on your own, in your own time as well. Thank you. And thank you, Les, for holding space for us and for supporting us to do this experience together.
It's my pleasure. So let's take some time here and get our audience familiar with your platform and the services that you offer.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the first thing actually I want to invite is that if any of you would like to email me and share with me what your wisdom shared with you, I love hearing wisdom shares. I love it. I love affirming and hearing and knowing what that awakened consciousness in you knows. For me, it's one of the most sacred acts that I do in my work is to affirm, to say yes to what is already awake in you, to say yes to that love and wisdom in you. So I love to hear about that from you, or if you want to connect with me on Facebook or however you'd love to do it, I would love that. And just as an aside, I also want to note that it's really helpful to write down what your wisdom knows. Sometimes I recommend people keep a wisdom journal of all the things that wisdom guides you to do or shows you. So helpful to read over. So now my work, well, I know, Les, you were so kind to post on your site two free gifts that I wanted to offer all the listeners to continue this discussion that we've started today. And one is a little ebook, a little mini ebook about your divine potential and the soul code. Your soul knows. It has a code for your true divine potential and your journey of awakening. That's part of your wisdom too. So there's a little ebook where you can read that and explore that, and the link is on the site. And a second gift that is a recording also about awakening to divine potential, but also about evolving beyond conditioning and evolving beyond what you've known. And that is called Beyond Awakening, Your Evolutionary Edge. So I really hope that all the listeners will take advantage of those two free gifts, because they're a wonderful way to get started.
Well, very nice.
Thank you, Les.
You're so welcome. Now, when you think about a client that you're going to work with, how would you describe your ideal client?
Oh, thank you. So I do live programs and I do private sessions. And I also have retreat at home products on my website. If somebody just wants to self-study and study on their own, by all means, I love that. I support that. I often love to study on my own, so those are available on my website. But if you'd like to interface with me and exchange in some way together, then we can do live programs together or private sessions. When I'm looking for a client for private sessions, I'm looking for someone who knows they're ready to awaken, whatever that means for them, wherever they might be on the path. Someone who's really very self-aware already that you've gone through therapy, and I know many of you have, and you've done that foundational work of healing. Because what I love to do with people is take them to the next level. I love taking people beyond where therapy or other modalities have been able to take them and support them to awaken, embody, and really evolve to a very new place in their lives, to a new paradigm that maybe they couldn't have even imagined. So if that feels aligned for you, then by all means, I invite you to explore on my website the possibility of having a free 30-minute session with me to get acquainted, see if my work can support you, and see if that's resonant for you. If you get on my mailing list, I'll also have some programs, some free programs actually coming up in 2017 in January and February, and I'd love to invite you to those as well.
Well, very nice. So you mostly work one-on-one. Do you work with groups? Do you work with companies?
I do some of everything. I actually find that they all have a different function. I find that the group work is perfect for people to learn key fundamental teachings, to integrate those. I even do energy work in my group programs, on group calls, and pretty much everything I do is available by phone and Skype, not just in person here in San Jose, California, where I live. Where the private sessions are really great for very specific things that need to be untangled, liberated, healed, you know, transformed in some way, either energetically or through dialoguing and seeing the truth together, however we need to do it. So many of my clients do both the group sessions and the private sessions because they serve different and unique functions.
Very nice. And it sounds like you've really worked out a platform to engage the audience and your clients in a very authentic and genuine way. I mean, you really exude the in your language. You talk over and over again how unique every individual is. So you're really genuinely meeting them where they are in their journey, and I think that really speaks well of you as far as having that compassionate heart for them.
Thank you so much, Les, for reflecting that. And it is one of my loves, actually. I suspect you feel something similar, Les. It's a kind of miracle. It's like we're all facets of this diamond, and to witness the uniqueness of each individual and their journey, it is a miracle to me. It's absolute joy to witness how somebody is evolving and changing and the unique qualities of them in their lives. It's so much fun to get to be with, and that joy, it certainly feeds my work and is part of how I created it this way. Yeah, thank you.
Well, we just have a little bit of time left. Do you want to share any closing thoughts with us?
Yeah, the number one message that I would love to share with everybody is that this is possible for you. If you have any voice inside of you that is a voice of doubt, that says, I can't have joy, I can't have divinity in my life, I can't have this kind of love, I just want to affirm that that little voice of doubt is coming from something old and something confused, from your conditioning, from your past. And the truth is, it is possible for you in this lifetime, and you would not be listening to this interview if it was not possible and if you were not ready. And I really trust that deep within me, in my alignment and truth and integrity. And I know that you can do this in this lifetime, however far and whatever that looks like for you. And blessings to each and every listener. And blessings to you, Les, for holding these interviews with all these amazing people and for all the work that you do in the world, letting the divine move through you as you. Thank you so much for meeting with me today.
I'm so delighted. It's been our pleasure having you on the show. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight.
Thank you again. So much fun.
We've been talking with Sonia, and the topic tonight is Living Awakening, the Path to Being a New Human. You know, it's like we've been talking about. We all have this divine essence in us, and we probably had it in a more authentic way the day we were born. You know, when the day you were born, you didn't have an ego, you didn't have a symbol processor, you didn't have this mind that had to quantify everything coming in your eyes and ears. And it's so subtle, it's so patient, but it's a curious thing. It's like I was mentioning earlier, if love came in a box, there should be a warning label on it saying this stuff really kicks ass. I mean, divine love is something I highly recommend you start entertaining in your everyday thoughts and actions. And it can be really simple gestures that bring an expanded awareness of not only the presence of love in your physical environment, but what love can look like. And to the untrained eye, there might not be that much love to see, but after you start looking, there's love behind like every story out there. And even the villain and the victim, our souls came here to experience every single thing possible to understand what it means to be a human being. I mean, just look at all the storylines over time. There's such compelling stories of the power of the soul, the power of the heart. And yet, and I've said this so many times, the opportunity we have in this lifetime will not be reproduced in the future. This era of humanity now, this transition that we're going through now, is so dynamic, is so lucid, it's so full of possibilities. And God knows the humans playing out this storyline collectively, so many of them are worried and concerned about the future and which way it's all going to go. But like I said at the beginning of the show, if you learn how to embody unconditional love in this lifetime, in this body, in this persona, and go out into the quote storm unquote, love will conduit through you in a way that is so incredible. Your ego will cry, your heart will sing, your soul will smile, and you'll feel such a deep sense of satisfaction in your life. Hey, you know, I created the New Human Living platform to bring you opportunities to grow yourself. Go to newhumanliving.com and sign up for the newsletter. I wrote a book, Personal Power Fundamentals, that talked about how we load our psyche up with karma and how what we can do to unload the karma so we can embody the light of divine love, to understand the mechanics of karma, if you will. It's my good pleasure. It fills my heart with joy to provide opportunities for you to discover your own personal power. And this radio show is just an example of that. We've got a whole library of them online. If you're going to catch a plane for the holidays or even in your commute, go to the radio archives and dial up a show and grow who you are. Well, I'm your host, Les Jensen. It's been my good pleasure to share this time with you. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.